Hi, welcome to Happier Ladies, a podcast where we discuss all things related to the Happier and Happier in Hollywood podcasts.
We're sisters.
And super fans.
Who can't get enough happier.
So we created our own podcast to keep the conversation going.
I'm Malika Amandi, a SoCal native living in Western Massachusetts, a new mom, and an entrepreneur. I'm here with my sister, Azizi Williams.
That's me. I live and work in the LA area. I'm a not-so-new mom, and I'm an education professional in the independent school world.
In this episode, Azizi discusses an important relationship-building strategy, and then we both give updates on our happiness project, Revisited.
Malika, guess what?
What?
I got a gift in the mail this week. It was from the lovely people at Nerdwax. Can you believe that?
Ooh, exciting. Yay.
It was so exciting. They reached out. It turns out someone who works there, or I think she's one of the people behind it, is a listener, listens to Happier and listens to Happier Ladies, and heard me talking about Nerdwax and how excited I was for Sarah's recommendation and how much I needed something like that in my life. And so she offered to send a box. And oh my gosh, when I opened it, it was so exciting. Okay, so the Nerdwax is awesome. It looks like chapstick, but it's not. It's a little bit harder, and you put it on your glasses and it puts them in place. It keeps them from moving around, which is super helpful. And they also sent some drops that clean your glasses really easily. But the fun part was the glasses cloths. They are so fun. The shapes and the colors are so whimsical. So they sent me one that's the shape of this beautiful flower. There's one that's like a fun pattern. And there's one that's in the shape of a VHS tape.
But it's two-dimensional?
It's two-dimensional, but it looks like a photo. And what's great about it is that it's on both sides. It looks like the front and the back of a VHS tape.
That's cool.
That's my favorite one. But why not make cleaning your glasses fun? I mean, really.
Yeah, that's such a great idea to just sneak some joy into a thing that would otherwise probably be plain.
Yeah, it's always boring and, you know, you don't even think twice about it, but it's such an opportunity to bring some whimsy into your day. So I am loving all of that. I highly recommend. Thank you.
Azizi, does it count as overbuying if somebody gave it to you?
No. Of course not. That does not count as overbuying, but I'm telling you, and I told her, I am now a customer. I will be back. I didn't know I needed it, but it's solving a problem. You know, you have these problems, you think you just have to live with them. And then when something comes along to make it easier, it's like, wow, why didn't somebody think about this sooner? So love that.
That's great. Azizi, what happened on Happier and More Happier this week?
On Happier episode 477, Gretchen and Liz share a story about the importance of showing yourself. They discuss the transition from mentee to mentor, and they unpack Liz's anxiety about social events. And More Happier, they discuss Orange Theory, the eclipse, and a new Kansas City attraction. So in this episode, for me, I was really thinking about the conversation about knowing when you've moved from a mentee to a mentor, or understanding which one you are. And of course, you can be both, right? You can be a mentee in some spaces or you relate it to some aspects, and you can be a mentor in others. But I was reminded of a time when I had been a school administrator for a while, and someone I knew sent me an email saying that they had a cousin who was getting into education and wanted to talk to me. And I was so baffled. Like, why do they want to talk to me?
Do you think it was a mistake?
Yeah, I sort of thought it was a mistake. Like, why would she want to talk to me? But it never happened. And maybe I didn't respond. I don't know what happened with it. But I do remember realizing, like, months later, like, Oh, she thought I had some advice maybe to offer. Even though I had been doing the job for maybe a decade, I still thought of myself as a beginner. It just never occurred to me that I might have something to offer someone else related to this field. And so I think it is really important to understand, if you've been in it for a little while, you might be considered a mentor. Maybe there's something you can offer in that space.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think maybe because you had been working at the same school for so long, you kind of weren't able to actually see how much you had accomplished or how other people saw you from the outside. I think when you're moving positions or you're having to like be out in the job market, you have to market yourself. And I think in those transitions, people can really take stock of their growth.
Right.
Whereas if you're in the same place, maybe it blends in somehow.
I think that's true. And I think, you know, that where I was working, I had been there as a child and then came back as an adult and then kind of adulted and parented. And yeah, I grew and it was like these incremental growth that you don't even recognize is happening. And then how you look to people from outside the organization or others who are just getting started is very different than how you view yourself. And I think there's also some imposter syndrome in this, you know, like
yeah.
some thinking of, wait, no, I haven't yet accomplished it, or I'm not good enough yet to give someone else advice. So it is really helpful to recognize when you've been at something for a while, of course you have things that you can offer others. And then
right.
now I'm in the stage where I feel like, oh, I should always be available and open to help anyone or to talk about what I do and how I do it. I remember that moment recognizing the shift.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because I had my own business as a coach. That was like a huge label on myself that I am a mentor, that I know this. If you hire me, I can teach you things,
yes.
which I don't want to say that's debatable, but I decided that basically. That was, you know, I made that decision. Nobody kind of designated me.
And right.
So I had to have a lot of energy and confidence. Like, of course I can help somebody with this thing.
Yes.
And then people believed me and trusted me. And I did help people with that thing, you know, but
yeah.
even in coaching others, I've kind of adopted this stance, particularly around the word, not so much mentor, but expert or thought leader. I think there are a lot of people, often women, kind of waiting in the wings for somebody else to give them that title or that designation. And those are such vague things that often might not ever come from somebody else, even if you really are an expert or a thought leader, you know, or contributor. And so it's up to you to claim the title and run with it, you know, do what you will, contribute to the thinking or whatever in your industry. But I think there's a little bit of that with the mentee and mentor where it might not be until somebody comes to you approaching you that you recognize, oh, I actually have something to offer here. Or you just decide, like I did, I have something to offer. And like, if you build it, they will come. It is interesting.
You just made that your identity. I am Malika and I have something to offer.
Exactly. And I recognize there's many other arenas where I don't have anything to offer. Where I am the mentee still, you know, and will be forever in some areas of life.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to kind of come to that and not recognize, when did I cross over the line?
Yeah. And there's a little bit of pressure when you realize you've crossed over the line, because I am a person who prefers to just sit in the back and not have anyone look at me. Actually, you wouldn't think it, but I really like being the mentee. I like asking questions, and I think I can be uncomfortable sometimes with the pressure of, I must know this, or people are looking at me as an expert. I'd much rather like learn alongside people or learn from people. Yeah, something I'm thinking about growing into.
That is something Gretchen touched on about the responsibility element. Right. And I think it's true, whether or not you claim that title, if people are watching you, they're learning from you, whether or not you say anything, you know, so it's happening whether you want it to or not.
And of course, I'm so grateful to those who have mentored me or who have been willing to mentor me. So I understand the value of it. Something to think about. Very thought-provoking.
Yes. Yes. I really liked their conversation about the value of showing yourself, and the story Gretchen told about Jenna Fisher and her headshot experience of having this kind of sexy, sultry headshot that didn't quite match her personality. Like, it was her in the picture, but when she would get auditions, that's not what she was bringing into the room. And so there was always this disconnect. And her breakout role on The Office, Pam on The Office, was much closer to what her personality was or what her real vibe was.
Yeah, what she truly had to offer.
Exactly. I can totally resonate with that just from an actor standpoint, because every actor believes that they can do anything. You can pretend, you have your imagination. And I think at the heart of that creative impulse is like, I could be a tree, I could be a rock, I could be a mermaid. You can do anything.
Yes.
And then real life is like, you actually need to look like this thing you're playing, or actually you have a range and it's not limitless. And that's okay. And the more you lean into that, the more successful you can be, actually. But it is a hard lesson to learn, or it cuts against something of like, well, but I can transform, you know? And I think it got at that. And it reminded me of our conversations about picking a celebrity persona, and which I love to do. And I think that's a great hack. And it's always going to be me, right? Even when I'm Amy Sedaris. Energy. It's like Malika putting on Amy Sedaris.
It's still you.
Exactly. I think that's great that we can kind of play with that idea, but we can't actually expect people to see somebody different than who we are.
No, but Malika, the other thing is that you have to then know yourself.
Yes.
And that is the hard work. And that's, you know, the work of what Gretchen and Liz is doing with the questions of know yourself better. You have to know yourself to recognize then when you take a headshot, what it should look like, or if this headshot is actually reflecting who you are, and then be okay with that, be okay with who you are and what you have to offer, and not see it as constraint, but, you know, freedom in knowing who you are. So yeah, the whole headshot thing, I don't know. I feel like most pictures, I look at them and I'm like, that's not me. You know, like the vision I have in my head never comes through in a photo. I did go through the experience of getting really fancy professional shots when I first got the job that I have now, and they were all not me at all. And it was like a whole day and outfit changes. And the result was, I don't know who this person is. And I did get a headshot in some other space on a board that I'm on, and it was one take, and I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's me immediately. Like, I don't know. It's magical. I don't know how this all works or how you get the headshot that is just you. Maybe there's more about photographs and photography and just knowing how to present yourself. But yeah, it's fascinating. So on both Happier and More Happier, Gretchen found opportunities to talk about stickers.
Oh.
I just want to say, Gretchen, I'm with you on the stickers. I love stickers also. And I think I've talked about before how I am trying to give everyone a birthday card that I can write this year at my work, students and staff.
Wow.
I get behind a little bit. No, I know. Spring break kind of threw me off, but as long as I'm within the month or close to the month, I still hand it to them or put it in their box. But it's an opportunity for me to play with stickers at work. And I love it. And there was one time a parent came to me and said, did you make that card you gave to my child? And I felt a little bit like, oh, yes, yes, it was. I don't know if it feels a little too young or
were they honored or were they concerned?
They were impressed and maybe a little concerned. I don't know. It's a variety of stickers. Lately, I'm into scratch and sniff stickers, which they still make and are just delightful. So anyway, I just wanted to co-sign Gretchen's love of stickers. Completely understand the John Darien book and not wanting to disturb it and buying another book just so she can use it. And there's some fantastic stickers out there these days. So I encourage you to look into it.
That's great. I'm a sticker fan too. They're tucked away with my washi tape. So it's the whole thing. But I like to put them in my planner.
Right. Yes. Use them for you. And I do that too. I put stickers in my planner sometimes also, but I feel like I have so many stickers, I need to find more ways to use them. I'm starting to amass many stickers. Malika, do you remember sticker books? Did you ever have one when you were a kid?
I did. Where are they now?
That was so much fun, wasn't it? You have a binder, you bring it to school.
Yeah.
Maybe you trade. I don't know. That was a thing when we were kids.
That was fun.
What happened on Happier in Hollywood this week?
On Happier in Hollywood, episode 361, Liz and Sarah discuss the importance of boundaries at work. Liz celebrates tackling something she was putting off. They share how they remain positive each week on the podcast and give a recommendation for the Kindle.
I loved hearing about Liz's Orange Theory accomplishments. She was so proud, and as she should be, it's hard to start something new, and especially something involving physical exercise and with people you don't know. And that's very exciting. And I appreciated hearing her describe it and talk about how much fun it was. Orange Theory was also on my list a while ago, maybe over the summer.
Because it was on Liz's list or because you knew about it independently?
No, I knew about it because my Weight Watchers coach talks about it all the time. And she talked about it so fondly. And actually, there are a lot of, I think, Weight Watcher members who participate in Orange Theory. And so she loves it. And I knew they were out here. And so I thought, well, let me give it a try. And then quickly realized there are too many barriers for me. So like the fact that you have to make a reservation is just not going to work for me. Because I just was like, oh, there's no appointments. Oh, well. That's it. I'm not going to probably come back to it. But it is intriguing hearing how exhilarating it was. I think she compared it to like being in a casino when you come out and you don't know how much time passed. That's pretty powerful.
Well, Zizi, there's one near me out here. Maybe we can go together when you come visit. That would be a fun thing to try together.
That would be so fun, Malika. Okay, let's do that.
Call it podcast research. I'm intrigued because if I'm in a class, I will do things that I wouldn't do on my own. And I like that idea. The way she described the whirlwind aspect. You're just doing all these things. You're moving here. You're there. The music going. And then you don't even realize what happened. Yeah. That sounds awesome. Like, I want to exercise like that because
it's like a total sensory experience.
Exactly. I think that could be fun. So yeah, I'm excited for her to start working on that big goal for the year. And it did kind of make me feel like, oh, I want something else like that. I'm doing the yoga classes, which I think I can probably up my goal there. Right. But I think some kind of cardio thing. And then I was like, maybe I need a signature hike like Fryman.
Right.
You know, what can I do around here that I just know I can do? And
yeah.
Anyway, we're very excited about Liz going to Orange Theory.
I have to say, it's just very exciting. Like Liz having these challenges and putting a specific number and we're all following along. And is she going to do it? Is she going to make it? It's very exciting. So thank you, Liz, for putting yourself out there like that.
We're rooting for you.
We're rooting for you.
So they talked about a listener question around how do they do the podcast when they've got so many things going on in their lives, especially when there are like hard things going on? How do they make space to be upbeat and deliver this podcast? And it was really interesting. Both Liz and Sarah said for them, the podcast is a refuge. And so when things are hard or stressful, it's nice for them to come together and be able to talk about what's going on in this productive way. And I totally agree. This is episode 31. So we're still kind of in the beginning, but we're doing it every week.
Yeah.
And I think it has become a really solid time for us to connect, which I love having that on the calendar every week. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I feel the same way. It's the best possible distraction. And I, this time last year, was thinking, I really need a hobby. Can you believe it? I was like, I don't have a hobby. I'm on these boards, but they're all related to work. And I kind of need a hobby. So when this came along, it was the perfect hobby because it's reinforcing the positive things that we want in our lives and an opportunity to think about happiness and research about happiness and then share about happiness can't help but make you also happier. It's been great. And yes, there have been hard weeks. And this feels like a break whenever it comes up. And it's not easy. And we really move a lot of things to make it work. But I'm having so much fun with it. So thank you.
Me too. Yay. I'm glad we can both be happier ladies.
Hey, it's a happier ladies. Onward and upward.
Onward and upward. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, Azizi will share some relationship tips for us.
Okay, we're back. This segment is called Relationship Remedies, where we discuss ideas that can strengthen your relationships. I'm excited to talk about the concept of emotional bids. And I learned about this from a podcast way back in 2018. And it was one of those times where after I listened to it, I had a paradigm shift. And this is something that Liz and Sarah talked about on Happier in Hollywood, like a moment when your outlook on the world or when something shifted for you that would kind of never be the same. And I've never stopped thinking about the concept of emotional bids ever since that podcast.
What is an emotional bid, Azizi?
I learned about emotional bids from a podcast called The Art of Charm. And these are two partners who each week talk about some aspect of connecting, of relationships, of networking, those kinds of things. So on this episode, they talked about emotional bids. They gave credit to Malcolm Gladwell and his book Blink, where I believe that term may have been coined, but also John Gottman. A lot of their telling about emotional bids came from the work of John Gottman and his relationship studies. And the concept is that everyone wants attention, acceptance, and appreciation, and especially from your partner. And in your relationships, you have to be attuned to your partner's verbal and nonverbal emotional bids. And your connection and your recognizing their emotional bids helps them to feel seen and valued and wanted in the relationship. So that's what an emotional bid is. And it's really important in our relationships that we are open to them and that we recognize and acknowledge them for the relationships to be strengthened and to be healthy.
What is it exactly? Like, what is a bid? Can you share some examples?
So emotional bids, mostly they're subtle and indirect. They can be direct, but the ones that you want to watch out for are the ones that are more subtle. So it could be your partner saying, hey, look at that sunset, right? That's a moment when they're inviting you to get excited about something that they are excited about. So obviously it's not literally the sunset. It could be like, there's a bird over there, or, oh my God, I'm so excited about these dishes. So your partner saying that to you, they are giving you a message that they want your attention. Another example is, oh, my coworker said this thing to me. Right?
Okay. Like, do you want somebody to ask, what did they say?
Of course you do. You said that because you want them to say what happened or tell me more, right? So if your partner says to you, you know, over dinner, my coworker said this thing to me, that's a signal to you. And it's not a direct signal. It's not them saying, hey, can you give me some attention, please? They're saying they want attention through this story that they want to tell you, but they can also be even more subtle. So maybe you're sitting watching TV with your partner and they just sigh. That's a bid. That's an emotional bid. That's an invitation. That's them telling you, I want some attention from you. I need you to recognize me. I need you to value me. And it's really easy to ignore or to miss if you're not paying attention, if you're not looking out for these kinds of signals.
Okay. So they're often verbal, but they don't have to be. It could be like a gesture or something, right? That somebody wants to connect in some way.
It could be a gesture. Obviously, someone sitting closer to you, maybe they take your hand. It could be nonverbal, but it's a moment where your partner is signaling to you that they need attention, acceptance, or appreciation.
Okay. And just to clarify, can emotional bids happen between friends or like a parent and a child? Or is this really just for partnerships?
No, this is really all of your relationships. So it could be at work, coworkers, it could be family members, not just your romantic partner. And certainly your kids, all people you're in relationships with want to be accepted. They want appreciation. They want your attention. And they're going to signal through these emotional bids. And so it's important to be attuned to them and to look out for them.
What are the ways that you can respond to them, to bids?
So the three ways that you can respond to a bid is to turn towards it, to turn away from it, or to turn against it. So turning towards the bid is like a yes and, or let's explore this. So someone says to you, oh, look at that sunset. And you go, wow, look at that sun. I see it. Tell me, what is it that attracted you to that sunset? Or when they sigh, you're turning towards it by saying, is everything okay? What's going on? I heard the sigh. You're recognizing it and you're inviting them to tell you more. Turning away from a bid means you're not recognizing it. You're not acknowledging it. It's like a no comment. Maybe you look up from your phone. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's completely ignored. Mm. Or you can give another response that signals that you're not paying attention, like a cool. And then you just go back to what you're doing, right? Or, you know, putting your hand up. That's turning away from an emotional bid. And turning against an emotional bid is responding, but responding with some negativity, responding like, hey, leave me alone. I can't talk to you about this right now. Or that idea is the worst. What a terrible sunset. Why did you think that sunset was amazing? So that's like turning against is, you know, you are recognizing their need for attention, but you're meeting it with some negativity. So those are the three things. It's turning towards, turning away, or turning against. And the key from John Gottman's research is that you should be turning towards at least 80% of the time to have a healthy relationship. And they described research he did where he spent a few hours with newlyweds and he could tell very quickly if their relationship was going to work based on their attunement to these emotional bids or not. And he found that if you are responding to your partner or your friend or this person in your relationship to their emotional bids 80% of the time, that's healthy because, you know, reality is it's not going to be every time. You can't. You can't every time. Right. Some things are going to just go over your head. You're going to miss. Sometimes you really are busy. You can't acknowledge. It's not going to be all the time, but it should be most of the time. And the other really interesting thing that I learned was that the worst of the three between turning towards, turning away, or turning against, turning away is actually the most harmful because you're giving them nothing. So with turning against, at least you're giving them some attention, even though you're not agreeing or meeting them or celebrating what they've offered, you're recognizing it. But when you turn away, you're not even recognizing it. So that is what leads to resentment, and it can lead to loneliness in a relationship if there's more turning away than any of the others.
Wow. That's so chilling because I can think about when I've seen that happen in my life or in friends' lives where somebody does the turning away and it's like the silent treatment or ghosting, right? There's nothing there.
Yes.
What can you do if there's nothing there? A relationship, if nothing else, is more than one person interacting about something, whether it's constructive or not, it's together, right? So if you kind of are just not there, and that's a choice, you know, maybe somebody has good reasons for doing that, but it is interesting just thinking about the mechanics of a relationship, what keeps it going and what can really deteriorate it.
And the thing that's interesting is that you may not know you're turning away because in your head, you're thinking, I'm listening. I heard you. So I'm a good partner. I'm listening. But if you're not recognizing or acknowledging or giving anything in return, you might as well not be there. It doesn't feel like attention or acceptance. So that's something definitely to keep in mind that you need to, with your eyes and with your body language, with your words, affirm the thing that's being said, or else it feels like you're turning away.
Right. That's a good distinction because this really does depend on perception, right? What somebody perceives your actions.
Yes.
Which has other implications for someone who might be neurodivergent or might just express themselves differently or not have the same physical tells, but is actually listening, for instance. But this is just such a, I think, powerful thing to know about what we expect when we give an emotional bid.
Yes. Speaking of neurodivergence, when I was listening to this, it reminded me of the show Love on the Spectrum that you told me I should watch. I was kind of like resistant to it. And as soon as I did, I was like, this is amazing because it's doing what I love, which is making the invisible visible. There are all these forces at play in our relationships and in life, and they're often unsaid or unidentified. And you don't even know that there are forces that are working either for you or against you. And in Love on the Spectrum, they break it down in such an explicit way how to have a conversation. This is how you have a conversation. Right. It's like, that's really helpful, actually. That's helpful to people who are neurodivergent, who don't just pick up on these rules. But then it's also helpful for all of us to just think about how does it work? How does all of this work? I want to tell a story that's really funny. And this is an example of a time when I put out an emotional bid. Of course, I wasn't thinking about it in that way at the time, but I definitely felt it and it didn't go so well. So I'm going to be Grayson. That's my husband. And you be me. Okay, Malika?
Okay.
This was when I got the news that I was going to be having this press conference with the mayor of Los Angeles. So we're sitting on the couch together. We're having dinner. And you be me and just say, hey, I got this news today.
Okay. Hey, I got this news today. I'm going to be in a press conference.
Oh. Oh my goodness. These chicken wings. I had all these different flavors. And the third flavor, I think, was the best flavor. These are delicious chicken wings. And scene.
Chicken wings.
This is literally how this conversation went. I was very taken aback. I didn't say anything or do anything. I just like, yes, the chicken wings are delicious. This was a new place we were trying. Thank you, Grayson. But then I recognized I was feeling a little resentful. And I said, hey, I told you about this thing that was really important to me. And then you kind of ignored me, or you just kind of blew it off and you started talking about chicken. And he said to me, oh, but you're always doing those kinds of things. Like, you're always doing amazing. I said, oh, okay. Thank you for that. That's not true. But also, in that moment, I just would have wanted you to acknowledge it. And so then he was very loving and then asked me a bunch of questions about it. But that's an example of what it looks like. And then kind of what it feels like when you put yourself out there, you say something, even if your hope is that that person is going to meet you with it. So.
Yeah.
Malika, you have a story of a strategy that is actually, I think, very effective.
Yes. So right before we left for our Italy trip, I think this was the night before, my brain was just so fried from making sure we had everything we needed, packing for the baby. You know, this is our first time traveling with an infant internationally, and it was super late at night. And I think I was trying to get to bed. There was like a mountain of things on the bed. And Norm asked me something. I don't even remember what it was. I couldn't even hear him. It was like the Charlie Brown teacher, like, wah, 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 wah. And I just looked at him and I said, system processing. And then that was it. System processing. And he got the message, like his bid. I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't even take it in. And so he kind of laughed and was like, okay, we'll talk about it later. But that was, I guess, a way of acknowledging, like, I hear you talking and I see that you need something. And I really can't be receptive at this point because I've got like a spinning wheel on my forehead.
I loved it. When you told me that, I cracked up because when you said system processing, that was so clear that you couldn't, even if you wanted to, attend in that moment to his bid. And that's true for all of us. We all have these moments or times where we just can't, but at least you acknowledge it. So it was more turning against, but you said, I see you, I hear you, and my brain can't right now. And so we can come back to this later. So I think system processing is a great term that we should all adopt, you know, in our vocabulary.
Azizi, what can we do to catch these emotional bids when we recognize them?
So it's important to make time to give attention to your partners, to your friends, to the people that you're in relationships with. And this is so hard. Look, I am definitely guilty of when I get home after work, I am home, but I am still at work. I'm still technically at work. Either I'm literally at work because I have Zoom meetings that I have to get into, or I can't put my phone down and I'm constantly checking for emails and seeing if someone's responding. I'm sitting with my partner or with my kids, but I'm still in my mind at work. And so this is why it's really important to make time, to schedule time, to set aside time to give your partner or your child or your friend attention, where you're not going to be distracted, where you're going to make an effort to put away your phone. So date nights are very important. And we talk about that a lot. And that's why we put them on our list for 24 for 24. Because when you're having a date night, that is you signaling to your partner, I care about you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to catch all those bits that come at you. So whether it's daily or weekly, but just finding regular time when you and your partner or your friend know that you're going to give their attention. And I'd say this is when you're in meetings, put away your phone, close your laptop when you're in meetings, and give eye contact to the person who is talking. This is revolutionary. I know this might be controversial, might be polarizing, but I really believe in giving the person who is speaking your attention, because if they're the one speaking, or if they're facilitating, if they're leading, you're signaling to them that you are giving them attention and that they are worthy. There's just a kindness that comes with giving attention, and you're catching those bids in that moment. And of course, phones and devices are terrible for emotional bids. One, because you will miss what's happening around you if you are on your phone or device. But two, even if possibly you're using text messages to send someone an emotional bid, but that's really hard to interpret. Emails, texts, posts, it's hard to interpret emotions in that form of connection. And so that's an area where you need to really be careful, and especially put down the device if you're in a room with other people. So those are some things to keep in mind and some ways to make it easier to be attuned to emotional bids. But I would say just look out for them now. I'm curious. Let us know if you could now catch some emotional bids, whether it's you giving them or the people that you're in relationships giving them to you. Maybe you'll recognize and pick up on things that you didn't before just by knowing what they are.
Yeah, this is really interesting. And I think it can feel vulnerable to make an emotional bid, right? And I think somewhere in my brain, there's an idea about being needy, right? Or high maintenance, and not wanting to kind of put them out there. But in this conversation, it just makes so much sense. A, that it's natural. Right. And that it's healthy. That's a functional relationship if both parties are giving emotional bids, right? And being met 80% of the time. What a wonderful thing.
Yeah. No, and certainly you would have to recognize if you're needing that all the time, right? If you're constantly needing validation, that can tip into an area that's problematic. But we're talking about healthy, normal needs for acceptance and attention.
Well, thank you, Azizi. We will be on the lookout for emotional bids.
Excellent.
Our next segment is the Happiness Project Revisited Update, where we discuss how our own journeys are going with the Happiness Project Revisited.
So how did March go, Malika?
All right. So the theme of March was organization, and I had two priorities. The first one was to clean the closet that my clothes are in.
Right.
Which I did. And I talked about that here. The result was not what I thought it would be. You know, it feels good to have it be cleaner when I open it, but now I'm left with my whatever existential style crisis, which is not a true crisis. But I feel good that I did that part of it, that I purged a lot. The shoes are actually in a different closet, and I haven't finished that project. Right. So that's still ongoing.
Okay.
The other piece I wanted to do was to kind of figure out this new mail system where my husband was going to open the mail and share a picture of things that I needed to address.
Right.
Somehow we just have not touched the mail still. Okay. And it's in its basket. It's in its pretty basket. I think he's dealt with some of his things, but I haven't been getting like pings of things I need to deal with. And yet I know there's stuff for me in the basket. So that journey continues. Yes. No progress there. I didn't do anything, you know, that's kind of on me. I didn't prompt or follow up. I just turned away.
So you can add it to the agenda of one of your admin meetings that you and Norm are famous for.
Amandi Meets.
Amandi Meets. Of course, it's got a name. I would put this on the agenda of your next meeting so it gets discussed. You can move it forward.
Yes, we will discuss it again. We also said, you and I, that we were going to do our closet cleaning together over Zoom, which we couldn't quite figure out the timing on that.
Yeah.
But we did do some polos of our closets.
Yeah, that was fun. That worked. That's what polo's for. when you can't find the time to connect in person or at the same time, that was still fun to see your before and after of your closet.
Yes. What about you, Azizi?
Well, I tackled my loffice. That's my living room office in my living room. I have a corner that is also my office. And I just needed to deal with all the paper and things. There just wasn't any organization to it. It kind of just gone haywire. So I did. I took everything off the shelves. I went through every single piece of paper. I have a shred pile. I got rid of a lot of things. I found some uncashed checks.
Wow.
I know. This is why it's important to keep up with your paper. And I changed the orientation. And then I decided I needed a good Zoom background because I do spend a lot of my time in my loffice on Zooms. So my husband and I went to the home store and I wanted to do this as cheaply as possible. So I found just a couple of things. I didn't spend more than $40 that I could put on my background behind me. And then my sister Malika made it even better. As soon as she was on the Zoom, she told me, oh, you need books right there. You need to lift that plant up. You need some coffee table books. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's perfect. And she's like, go get that book I gave you for your birthday. Put it there. And so I did, and she was right.
You were skeptical.
So skeptical.
You like it now.
I just didn't understand what you were seeing because it was a plant on a pedestal. But you had the idea of putting the plant on three coffee table books on top of that pedestal. So then that even creates more visual interest behind you. And it's brilliant. I tell you, it's a brilliant hack. And it was free. It cost nothing. So thank you for that, Malika. So now it's done. And the other idea that I had or the other area that I wanted to tackle was my hall closet, which just is a mess. It's deep and it's kind of awkward. And I just haven't figured out what to do with it. I've thrown a bunch of gift wrap and ribbon and camping stuff, random things in there. But as I stared at it, I realized what I actually need is more space for my clothes. And these things that are in here can be easily moved to the garage, or some of them will go in my home office, my loffice. So I asked my husband if he can help me to put in shelves so that I can actually use it for more clothes. And he's excited to do this. He's going to go to Ace and Home Depot. He has his weekly Friday trips to Ace, which he calls his Acecapades. And he's going to put in some shelves for me. So I haven't gotten to it, but I have a plan for it. And so that feels good.
Smart. That's a great idea. And I'm so glad you made that connection. Now you're going to have a really nice extended closet.
Right? For just for me. I'm excited to move into this closet when it's done because my clothes are literally falling out of my closet. It's so small right now. So I'm excited about that. But now we are looking forward at April, or we're in April, which is friendship. And what are your plans, Malika? What are you going to do for April?
So I have a lot of ideas, and I know from experience that I'm going to need to whittle them down.
Right.
Or I just will put them out there and we'll see what sticks, I guess. I used to have this practice of making a list each week of like a few people I wanted to connect with, like sending a text or a polo. And I fell out of that, but I would like to do that again. So keep that kind of people to connect with list going. And then one of my 24 for 24 goals is to have a monthly friend date anyway. So I'm going to try to double that in April. See if I can do two friend dates.
Okay. Sounds like a lot, but great.
I mean, instead of one, doing two because of the theme.
Yeah.
And then this is the reach one is, and maybe I just create the plan now for later, but since our weather is getting better, I would love to do like a very low key kind of come as you are gathering for some of the other families that we know in the area, maybe at a park. The key is low key and come as you are. So I'm not sure if I can actually accomplish having the gathering in April or if it's just maybe sending out an invitation. But this is something I would love to do more regularly, but we just kind of have to do it at least once to get in the habit of it or see if it's possible. But I mean, really low bar. So not really hosting so much as making the idea happen.
Okay. The thing is, I think your gatherings are always come as you are and pretty low key. But the difference is that it's not at your home, somewhere else, like at a park or something, okay. So that you don't have to deal with the food part of it. I get that. But I've never felt like your gatherings were fancy or dress up.
This is true.
So saying right. Low key, I don't know if that changes it at all, but one, not having a reason, like it's not a birthday party or a baby shower. Exactly. And then two, maybe having it at a park or someplace else that's neutral and you're organizing the people coming together. That makes sense.
Right. Maybe the low key is for me. It's for my energy because I think I can get, even when things are casual, I tend to have the hostess neurosis, as Liz and Gretchen have said. So the low key underscore, that's for me inside, that's internally.
That's for you inside. That's your inside reminder. It is low key as it always is, and to not go crazy.
Yes. What about you, Azizi?
So I'm going to use this month as an opportunity to finish my wedding thank you cards. So the good news is that I did have my solo gratitude retreat over spring break, and I got a hotel by myself, and I knocked out a lot of the thank you cards. I ran into a stumbling block with not knowing anyone's address. And so then I realized, like, oh, wait, how am I going to send these things? So I had to send a bunch of texts. Addresses are coming in. And so I'm going to take April to send them, because that's a form of connection with friends, is expressing gratitude towards them through these cards. So I'm going to use April to cross that off my list. And then the other thing I'm going to do is reach out to others who share my role, who I want to get to know a little better. So we're all very busy and we tend to see each other at conferences or meetings, but there's never enough time to really get to know someone. And my preferred method of getting to know someone or connecting is through a meal, like having a one-on-one lunch or coffee is the way that I prefer to connect. So I'm going to take some steps to do this with a few folks who I've been meaning to connect with kind of all year. And that also goes back to the mentor mentee, because these folks have been in this a little longer than me. And I think it's an opportunity for me to continue to be mentored as well as get to know them a little better. So that's my goal for April. Those are my goals.
Nice. And good for you for moving forward on the thank you cards.
Yeah. One step closer.
There was a moment you sent me a text on your retreat that you were going to pivot and do something different.
And then you so kindly reminded me of what the whole retreat was about, that I should actually get started with it. So I appreciate you for keeping me on task.
Of course. Well, we will come back in about a month to let you know how April went with the Happiness Project Revisited.
Yes, I'm really enjoying it and appreciating the webinars and all the resources that are provided through the platform.
Yes. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will share our peaks and valleys.
Okay, we're back with peaks and valleys, because in life, there are always peaks and valleys. And this is an odd episode, so Malika is up with a peak.
So my peak is for the app Libby, which we've discussed before. That is a way to download digital library books. And I love that Libby is connected to three different libraries that I'm a member of, and that it is so easy to put books on my Kindle. Because as I mentioned, I think in our last episode, I'm into reading now. This is, I've like dusted it off. You know, I haven't been into reading for a while and it's come around. And it's just so fun to be able to get books so easily. And sometimes I'll look up a book and it's not available, but I put a hold on it and then it just automatically is delivered to you when it is. And it's kind of fun to get a book that has been on hold. it could be a negative, but I feel that it gives me kind of a sense of anticipation and like, ooh, I've got these two books on my shelf waiting. And it's just been quite nice and convenient.
Yeah, I get it. I haven't crossed over to actually listen to the book. I like the pressure of it's not going to be there forever makes it hard for me to get in, but magazines are awesome on my iPad. I'm really enjoying the magazines through Libby that I have access to. I will co-sign that peak.
What's your valley, Azizi?
Taxes. Am I right? Anybody with me here? Taxes are due tomorrow. And I am in true Azizi fashion, scrambling and also helping my daughter, my adult daughter, navigate her taxes as well. So it's a, you know, a regular thing, happens every year. All of us Americans are in it, but not a fun thing to do.
Not fun. Sending you good vibes. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Azizi, let's leave on a happier thought. What are you going to try this week?
I'm going to make some progress with reaching out to folks and getting some coffees and lunches on the books. What about you, Malika?
I am going to pay attention to emotional bids from the people in my house and in general, but I think I'll start with the people in my house.
That's a good place to start.
Start at home. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you like us, rate, review, tell a friend, and don't forget to follow us.
Send us a message at happierladies@gmail.com and tell us something you liked about Happier and Happier in Hollywood this week.
Our show was edited by Magnus Bjorgum, and our theme music was created by Wyatt Munsey.
And we also want to give a special shout out to Gretchen Rubin, Liz Kraft, and Sarah Fain for inspiring our conversation each week.
You can find us on Instagram at happierladies and on the web at happierladies.com, where you can find our show notes. All right, Azizi, have a happier week.
Have a happier week, Malika.
Bye.
Bye.
My voice cracked a little bit.
Sure did. Do you want to do it again?
Need to do it again.
All right, let's do it again. Okay. Which part was it? Have a happier week?
Yeah. Okay.